This show is rated Podcast MA due to adult language.
Yeah, baby!
And adult situations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For mature audiences only.
I want you to set a fire so goddamn big the gods will notice us again. That's what I'm saying.
I want all of you boys to be able to look me straight in the eye one more time and say, are we having fun or what?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I realize I use the word fuck a lot, and I'd apologize for that, but I don't give a shit.
Ah, the wind's just right for dick jokes.
Wrap your ear around my dick, you fat fucking cunt!
And now, for the thousands in attendance, and the millions listening around the world, the moment you've all been waiting for, let's get ready to podcast! Here's your host, Jim K.
Hey, kids!
What did you just say?
See what I've done? I've offended somebody right off the bat. Just open my mouth, said two words. Somebody out there's offended, and you know who you are. Apparently, somebody took offense to my opening the show with the phrase, hey, kids. Dude, lighten the fuck up. It's just something to say. I call everybody kid, 8 to 80. I call my wife kid. She's a year younger than I am. It's just a way not to say dude and man all the fucking times. Fucking get over yourself already.
Oh, whatever, dude.
Anyway, welcome to episode 7 of the StarCast. I, first of all, right up front, I got to apologize. After this music goes away, if you hear line noise, hissing, and a weird kind of digital effect over the voice, I think something's wrong with my mic. I might have to get a new one. I don't know what happened. The other day, I plugged it in and just huge amounts of noise. And tapped it a couple times. Seems fine. But I don't know. There's a weird quality to it. I think I got to get a new one. But I also wanted to take a minute to say thank you for making last week's show the most downloaded so far. I just do this because it's fun. And it keeps me busy and it keeps me entertained. But it's really, really cool to know that people out there are digging it. And I noticed on Podcast Alley, like, people are actually naming this show when they go, like, yeah, my favorite podcasts are da-da-da. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. So I really appreciate that a lot of you people are taking time to listen to this dumb show. And I just, you know, I hope that I can amuse or entertain you for at least a little while.
Look at me.
If there's something that you'd like to hear specific on the show, get a hold of me. You know the drill. Email is starcast@gmail.com. The comment line is 206-600-JIM-K, 206-600-5465. So start dialing, you lazy bastards. Come on.
Oh, please!
A whole week and nobody called the voicemail. I love it when people call the voicemail and say, you know, nice things, dumb things, funny things, crazy things. Just say things, you know? Call. Come on. Long distance is cheap. Use your work phone. Steal your boss's cell phone. Use that. 206-600-5465. Call! I order you to call. Do my bidding.
You will call me master.
All right, enough of all this. You're here for a reason, and this week, I swear the show is packed. Packed, I say!
We have a big show for you tonight.
All right. Did they steal Nick Cage's email, or is he just a dirty pervert? Tom Cruise is obviously a certifiable lunatic. We'll play a little Name That Movie. 2-minute rant will be fun. And we'll talk a lot about the flag-burning amendment and the property rights decision and what is essentially the death of liberty in America.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get on! Coming up!
So it looks like somebody ganked Nicolas Cage's old email account, or so he would have you believe. Here's a bit of the news story. An email address once used by the Oscar-winning actor has been appropriated by somebody or somebody's with inappropriate intentions. The cyber breach was first reported Tuesday by TV's Celebrity Justice. In a statement released to the syndicated show, Cage's camp distances itself from the email handle known as ncsaturn.7@aol.com. Nicolas Cage would like to make the general public aware that somebody has illegally and fraudulently been using the following email address, pretending to be Nicolas Cage, the statement said.
Yeah, right!
The star's reps had no further comment. Per Celebrity Justice, the real Cage is peeved because the fake Cage has been using the AOL account to send out lewd sexual emails with graphic sexual messages. Yeah. That's pretty suspect, dude. You know, let me just take a second here and talk directly to you, Nick. Now, you know you sent me that email. You know you did it. I think you're just trying to cover your ass and claim that somebody ganked your account. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to let the people decide. I'm tired of your lies, Nicolas Cage. This is an email that I personally received from ncsaturn.7. Dearest Jimmykins, if I have ever loved a man, I love you. I want to swallow every inch of you and gargle with your man chowder. Please write me back and say you'll use my balls like cough drops. I can't do this goddamn press junket for Ghost Rider until I hear from you. I'm so in lust with your manliness. Love, Nick the Dick.
That's fucking disgusting.
Holy shit, what the fuck? Why is Nick Cage trying to woo me? That's just nasty. But the next one just got weird. Dear Reason I Fondle Myself. Oh, Jesus. I'm hurt. I offer myself to you, and you ignore me? Is this how you treat someone so devoted to the idea of cupping your balls gently and nibbling at your man nipples? My taint tingles with the thought of your touch. I feel the need to open my mouth and bathe my tongue in your spunky gravy. Oh. Maybe it's the artist in me, but I want to paint you in semen on my face. I need you to do this with me. Help me realize my full potential. I want you to come in my mouth. Yours, Nick Cockless. And he spelled the cock part in all caps. Like, that's just fucking creepy. I'm not in any way prepared for Nicolas Cage to be still. What the fuck? Is anybody else hearing fucking banjo music? What the fuck is... Holy shit! Jesus Christ! Oh, fuck this! Stay away from me, Nicolas Cage! I have guns, you sick fuck! Hey, does anybody know if quicklime actually stops decomposition odor?
Oh, it's the Starcast, baby! Yeah! Yeah!
Ladies. I'm not going to do that again. I'm sorry. Speaking of weirdo movie stars, what the fuck is wrong with Tom Cruise? Like, I know he's always been a little, you know, whatever. Lately, though, he's been flipping the fuck out all the time. He flips out, maybe with a good reason, against those kids that squirted him with the water. But he, you know, the jumping up and down like a monkey boy on Oprah, fucking putting Katie Holmes in a chokehold every time I see him on TV together, and now he's attacking Matt Lauer because Lauer mentioned that he knows people that psychiatry and antidepressants have helped. And Cruise goes off on stuff like Ritalin and calls it a street drug. Hey, Dumbo the Wonder Actor, it's a prescription drug that gets traded on the street illegally. That's not the same thing as a street drug. Apparently, the Scientology dogma has, you know, Cruise convinced that all psychiatry is bunk. I'm not saying that therapists aren't quick with the scripts. You know, they are, obviously. But to claim that there's no such thing as a chemical imbalance, that you know, somehow L. Ron Hubbard has the fucking solution to brain chemistry? Man, Scientology has just fucking destroyed that dude. And apparently now it's starting to work on Katie Holmes. The latest thing that I read, which was just weird, like, I was kind of like, you know, oh, poor Katie, you know, and the, you know, whatever. She's cute and what a loss, and like she's ever going to bang me. But this story is like creepy and weird. there's an entire chunk of time in April where she's missing. Now, follow this timeline, because it's fucking fascinating. It's kind of a glimpse into, I think, a glimpse into how Scientology works as a cult. Here's the story. On April 4th, a guy named Roger Friedman, a reporter, spoke to Katie Holmes, and she had not yet at this point met Tom Cruise in person. Now, the rest of this comes directly from Friedman's article on FoxNews.com. On April 7th, she was photographed at the Fragrance Foundation's Fifi event. 4 days later, Holmes was still in New York and photographed at VH1's Save the Music concert. She still had not met Cruise. Sometime that week, she flew to Los Angeles for a meeting with Cruise about a role in Mission Impossible 3. The meeting took place after April 11th. The next time anyone heard from Holmes was on April 27th, when she appeared in public as Cruise's girlfriend and love of his life. During that time, she decided to fire both her manager and agent, each of whom she had been with for years. Holmes also acquired a new best friend, Jessica Feshbach. The Feshbach family, according to published documents, has donated millions to the Church of Scientology. But wait, there's more. History has been rewritten since the April 27th unveiling. Curiously, since the Cruise-Holmes situation popped up, we've heard over and over again that Cruise was the young actress's idol when she was growing up. That's certainly interesting because all of the publicity that used to run on Holmes, which is still found all over the internet, lists another Tom as her favorite actor. That would be Tom Hanks.
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump.
They done brainwashed this chick, man. Free Katie! Free Katie! Free Katie! Free Kate! You got to check out freekatie.net. I'm definitely going to get one of those shirts and wear it until poor Katie Holmes is free. I'm telling you, man, she's too cute to be a Scientologist. It's just not right. All right, enough about movie stars and their bullshit. We should move on to something that, something we should be talking about when we're discussing actors. Namely, how about the films that they do? It's time for another installment of Name That Movie.
Welcome to Name That Movie, the fun podcast game show where you name that movie. Here's your host, Jim Kay.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Name That Movie. Here's how we play the game. I play a clip from a movie, and you, name that movie. You'll have 10 seconds to identify the clip, and if you need more time, just hit pause. So let's get started and play Name That Movie. Today's episode has a theme, and that theme is based around the word want. Here is the first clue clip.
What exactly do you want?
All right, time's up. Did you guess the answer? The actor delivering that line is, of course, Val Kilmer, if you recognize his voice, in the role that many recognize today as his best ever, even with the huge amount of work that he's done. It is the 1985 classic Real Genius. It's a frigging ridiculous fun 80s movie about a college professor who is selling the hard work of his brilliant students to the military for some sort of a super laser weapons system. And the true purpose of the film, though, is really to showcase Val Kilmer's character, Chris Knight, who was at one time the smartest kid on campus and now is sort of a mentor to the new smartest kid on campus. You know, lots of weird stuff happens. It's a college movie, and it's an 80s movie, so there are boobs and hijinks ensue. But the clue clip comes from a confrontation between Knight and the professor, Jerry Hathaway, where we find out exactly what Jerry wants from Chris.
What exactly do you want?
I want 5 megawatts by mid-May. Look, I don't care if you're arrogant. I don't care if you're disrespectful. But your attitude's distracting Mitch, and that I won't have. The rules have changed. I want it by mid-May.
Jerry, I think that you're just forgetting about one little detail, and that's that I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm history. I'm Casper. I'm graduating.
To graduate, you need my course, dear boy. So it seems that I have something to say about what you do and where you go. So from now on, you and Mitch are going to spend every waking moment in the lab, and you will solve my power problem, and you will solve it by my deadline.
Jerry, if you think that by threatening me you can get me to be your slave, well, that's where you're right. But, and I'm only saying this because I care, there are a lot of decaffeinated brands on the market today that are just as tasty as the real thing.
I'm not kidding, Chris.
Neither am I, Jerry.
I love that movie. It is I had a hard time pulling a quote because the whole movie is just nothing but quotable lines. But it is a fantastic film and one I think that everybody should rent if you've never seen it. All right, here's the next clue clip, and it's short, so pay attention.
What do you want?
Time's up. You ready? This 1996 thriller featured music from Nine Inch Nails and a gritty directing style that added just tons of drama to what I think are really great performances by the two lead actors. In case you haven't already guessed it, it is The Fan, starring Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. And yes, there was a point in history when Snipes could act, and I think this movie proves it. De Niro, who has pretty much made a career out of being that guy, in the second half of his life anyway, really branched out and kind of explored things in this film he hadn't touched as an actor in a long, long time. The context of the clue clip, of course, tells us what De Niro's character really wants from Wesley Snipes.
What do you want?
I want you to hit a home run for me, Bob. And then what I want you to do, Bobby, is I want you to stand up and tell the 50 million viewers that this home run is dedicated to Gil, a true fan. What do you think?
I can't believe you're serious.
I'm serious as a heart attack, Bobby. That's pretty serious, isn't it? You know, there comes a time in everybody's life, Bobby, when you have to stand up for something. Otherwise, you're just passing on through. So, Bobby, I'm watching you. And if that pitcher goes easy on you, I'm going to kill your fucking kid. Surprise, surprise.
Hey, Bobby!
I'm still here.
Now do you care?
Great, great movie. If you're in the mood for a well-made, well-acted, and well-directed thriller, The Fan is just a great choice. All right, our last clue clip of the day. Here it comes.
So now you want to tell me what you really want.
All right, this movie, in my mind, and I would guess the mind of many other people, is what movies should be about when they're not about explosions or comedy or whatever. I mean, released in 1994, I think it cemented the two leads as masters of their craft. The film is pure character development, primarily consisting of two guys in a room telling you the story of how they got there in real time and in flashback. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, the film is Swimming with Sharks, starring Kevin Spacey and Frank Whaley. Spacey just acts his heart out in this film. Sometimes he's hilarious, he's maddening, he makes you angry, you feel sympathy for him, and at the same time you want to beat him to death. It's just a masterful performance. And Frank Whaley, who I think is known mostly for his smaller support roles in The Doors and Swing Kids before this, is Guy, the assistant to Spacey's Buddy Ackerman, who is a high-powered movie producer. He specializes in, you know, big-budget action flicks and scoring with bimbos. Guy takes his boss hostage after a year of hell and a night of kind of some cross telephone lines that allow him to discover that his boss is trying to take something that's very dear to him. And the clue clip comes into play when the two of them are discussing exactly what it is that Guy wants from his boss while his boss is strapped to a chair and Guy is torturing him.
What? Your job is unfair to you? Grow up, way it goes. People use you, life's unfair, grow up, way it goes. Your girlfriend doesn't love you, tough shit, way it goes. Your wife gets raped and shot and they leave their unfinished beers.
They're stinking long necks. Just lying there on the... So be it. Way it goes. So now you want to tell me what you really want.
I have to tell you, you can obviously hear that clip was edited. There are some long spaces in there where Spacey is just looking. The camera doesn't cut. When he breaks down for a moment in the middle of that line, his face, he's been tortured. He's cut up. He's bleeding. He's a mess. But his eyes go red and fill with tears, and they don't cut. So you know that he brought it out of himself. And he's just, your heart just breaks for this guy. And then he just shifts his neck a little, as right before he says, "So be it, way it goes," for the last time, and his face just turns hard, and he's angry and mean again, and he's this ice-cold jerk. And it is an astounding, astounding piece of acting, and he doesn't utter a word. Unfortunately, that doesn't really work well for the game, so I had to chop it down and make it a little shorter. But you really, if you've never seen Swimming with Sharks, you are missing out on an absolutely fantastic movie that was made back when Kevin Spacey wasn't phoning it in. And that is all the time that we have for this installment of Name That Movie. Thanks for playing along. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to the Starcast.
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
And it's time to get political. The political portion of today's show is going to be a little longer than I've been doing lately. But I think these issues are of such vital importance and that they appeal to people along all points of the political spectrum. So I'm just going to, you know what, I'm just going to take the time. Regardless of what you hear on television or read in newspapers or see on the internet, we all have some very basic things in common. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to reiterate the point. Most of us have these things in common anyway. Those of us who aren't politicians, we want to be left alone. We want to live in peace. We want relative safety for our persons, our property, our families. We want liberty. We want freedom. We especially want the right to speak out when those ideals are compromised. We want a chance to earn a living, not a handout, not a free ride from the government, just a shot at making some cash that we can use to feed our families. We want to keep the money that we earn. We want to share enough wealth to provide basic services, roads, water, trash pickup, emergency help for people. But we don't want to finance luxury vacations for politicians or commercial enterprise that is not of, for, and owned by the people. As much as it saddens me to say this, because I consider myself fairly patriotic, and I've mentioned this before too, I'm a flag guy and I'm very pro-America, but I feel somehow like we're on a slow and steady decline. A Scottish history professor from Edinburgh University named Alexander Tyler wrote a book called Cycle of Democracy. It was written in 1770 about the fall of Athens as a society. Listen to this and tell me that you don't feel that we're in the latter stages of this cycle. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always vote for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's great civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependency back again into bondage. Now, he was focusing on the economics there, and obviously we have issues in the United States with regards to that very point, but just for a second, consider replacing the first half of that quote with something a little like this. A representative republic cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the leaders discover that they can vote power unto themselves by stripping, one at a time, the rights of the people by disguising it as patriotism and duty. From that moment on, the majority always vote for the candidates promising the most fervent displays of patriotism, with the result being a republic always collapses over a loss of rights, followed by a dictatorship, which can only be ended through war, be it outside invasion or internal revolution. Sound familiar? The Supreme Court decision to allow the government to take your house or your other property that you own and sell it to commercial developers is so abhorrent that I think it's something that should, if we were the spirited free Americans that we claim and are supposed to be, this is something that should spark a revolution, potentially an armed revolution. The right to be secure in your property from seizure was so fucking important that our founding fathers believed it was one of the reasons we should rebel against the king. It was equal to the tax issue. It was equal to any other issue. In fact, it may have been the primary reason why the colonies rebelled. It wasn't taxes. It was the seizure of property. What's the point of working hard and becoming a productive member of society if the government can just come along, take everything that you've built, pay you up to, which usually never happens, market value for it, and then turn around and sell it to Walmart? What? Why would you bother working hard then? Why would you bother trying to build an empire of any kind, of any size, when somebody else can just come along and go, nope, yoink, sorry. I know it's a free country and all, but fuck you. I know the right of eminent domain has existed for a long time. I get that. If the government came to me and said, look, we've been over this and over this, and there's no way to build this waste treatment plant we need to service the city unless we raise your neighborhood and build it right here. And if they show me the impact studies and, you know, everything checks out, whatever, I would, you know, I'd grumble about the inconvenience, but I would take the check, hand over my house, and know that it was for the betterment of the community. But to take it and sell it to a commercial developer? That's just stealing. It's theft dressed up as government. It's basic highway it's Robin Hood in reverse. It violates the letter and the spirit of the Constitution, and it's just plain wrong. There's no two ways about it. It is just wrong. I'm also a little pissed off about this bill that just passed in the House to amend the Constitution to outlaw the desecration of the U.S. flag. They try this every so often, and it doesn't matter who the president is or who the majority is in Congress. This flag-burning amendment thing comes up. It's like cyclical. It comes up all the time. In order to discuss this, though, I think that we first need to discuss what a flag is. Basically, the flag is cloth that we as a collective society have agreed is the symbol of our nation. Now, the reason it's important has been lost, I think. During wartime, before the advent of things like radios and, you know, other communications over a distance type tools, soldiers communicated with flags. And your flag, your standard, that was the line. Wherever that flag was, you tried to get to. If the flag was 100 yards up the hill or 200 yards up the hill, your job was to fight to that point. If the flag broke and retreated, that was a signal that, well, either your standard bearer was a pussy or you were supposed to retreat and live to fight another day. It was an all-important symbol. It stood for everything. It stood for your nation. It stood for your progress. It stood for your life if you were on the battlefield. So that's what a flag really symbolizes, and I think that that's been lost to some people. So it is important. It is an important symbol. But our nation, among other things, represents values that we set forth in our laws and customs. And what is more important than the symbol is the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, I'm just going to say I'm a bit of a constructionist. I believe the Constitution is a somewhat fluid document. But it must always be altered with an eye toward the intent of the framers, not just the style of the times. Most of us think that we know this document, but I'd like to call attention to the First Amendment. Apparently, some people haven't read it lately. It's used daily this country over to defend media. But the amendment is actually designed to protect the individual and organized media. The First Amendment reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, we've had cases before on a local, state, you know, federal level that have upheld the rights of hate groups to display swastikas in parades, to fly the stars and bars, to publish racist hate literature until the cows come home. But now, if you have a problem with your government and you burn a flag, you're a criminal? The flag is a symbol of an idea. That idea is liberty. If our government takes away our right to protest, then we no longer have liberty and we cannot truly call ourselves free men. In my opinion, burning the flag is an expression of speech, political speech, but it's still speech that should be protected. Millions of Americans have fought and died for the freedoms that we have in this country, and we can't allow misguided patriotism to steal those freedoms. We honor these good men and women by holding the flag as an object of respect, obviously, but we honor what they fought for by protecting the rights of those who would choose to use that symbol as a means of voicing displeasure with their government. Have we become a nation of secular mullahs? Are we going to imprison Americans for desecrating a symbol while we yell at the rest of the world for raising a stink over a few copies of the Quran? How do we justify saying that accidentally or even purposefully destroying a book is not a reason for rioting in anger, and then turn around and enact a law that says if you destroy the symbol of our nation, you go to jail? We have to fight this amendment every time it comes up. Much of what we are as a nation is wrapped up in this fight, and in the end, you have to make a choice. Will you protect the First Amendment? Will you protect the ideals of liberty? Or will you watch another one of your rights be destroyed?
You're listening to the Starkcast.
You damn right I'm your daddy.
Well, that was a little ranty. Well, so is this.
The 2-Minute Rant.
Brought to you by Starkcast.com.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
So, how many swear words can I fit into 60 seconds? I know. Let's find out. Fuck. Shit. God damn it. Motherfucker. Son of a bitch. Cock-sucking, ball-biting bastard. I hear she gets paid pretty well to suck dick. You little son of a bitch. Whoa, look at the sweet tits on that chick. Fuck! What happened? I dropped a fucking hammer on my foot. So then what happened? Well, I ate her pussy. I woke up with a huge raging hard-on. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Then she asked me to piss in her mouth. Well, aren't you a little cunt? Eat shit and die. Well, it taint your pussy and it taint your asshole. Go fuck yourself. Why don't you suck a fart right out of my ass? Suck my dick. Hey, how about you lick my balls? Okay, tell the truth. You like a shaved pussy, don't you? Fuck off. Donkey raping shit eater. You self-righteous fucktard. Motherless whore. Grab that thing like it's a cock. Oh, like you don't jerk off? Oh, don't use my shirt as a cum rag. So, did anything horrible happen to you while you were listening to that? Did anyone in your family die? Did you break out in boils, maybe? No? Do you want to know why? Because they're just words. They're words we all use, no matter how special we think we are. Most of us swear, and that's just a fact. I don't know why we try so hard to pretend that we don't do it. Who are we fooling? They're just words, people. Look, I have an idea. Let's intentionally let a fuck or two on network TV. And then we could just see if the world comes to an end or not. If it doesn't, well then let's all stop being self-righteous fucking pricks about swearing. And by us, I'm really talking about the FCC. And that's my 2 goddamn minutes on swearing.
You're listening to the Starkcast.
And now for something completely different.
All right, that is our cue, kids. Our time together is at an end. I hope you dug the show. Oh, I wanted to mention something. I was listening back to last week's show long after it was uploaded and everyone had downloaded it, and I noticed something. How god-awful my acting was in that Satan phone call. Holy shit, that was lame. Not the Satan parts, those I liked, but the part where I was just being me.
Wait, Satan. Are you saying that you listened to the Starkcast and distorted view?
Oh, that is just fucking awful. It's totally fucking Brady.
Marsha!
Look, how come none of you fuckers told me? Next time I sound like Marsha Brady, you damn well better let me know. Starkcast@gmail.com or call the voicemail 206-600-JIM-K, 206-600-5465. I also wanted to thank Lobaka for emailing me with the name of the band that did that song George Lucas Raped Our Childhood that I played last week. Band's called Hot Waffles. You can find them at hotwaffles.com. Another thing I wanted to bring up, somebody wrote me and asked me why I don't have a PayPal button up for donations on the blog, on starcast.com. Is that cool? Like, should I put one up? I've done it for all the blogs that I've run, but for some reason, I was like hesitant to do it for the podcast, even though this eats more bandwidth than any blog ever could. So anyway, let me know what you think. Starcast@gmail.com. Should I or shouldn't I? Let me give a shout out to the Podcast Alliance. I'll be joining them and submitting 5-minute chunks of this show for a group podcast that we're going to do to help, you know, sort of expose people to new shows and cross promote and stuff like that. I'll put links to everything. All sites that I've mentioned will obviously be in the show notes at starcast.com. And I think that's it, man. I'm spent. You people have drained me. I'll see you next week, you magnificent bastards.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.